Hello and welcome to the morning meeting. My name is Jimmy. Maddie's here building John Boy Media. A little behind the scenes weekly podcast. Today we've got opening day right around the corner. There was a fantasy draft yesterday. I need updates on my team just to let you know. And we have our Factor question of the day, brought to you by Factor. YouTube Shorts plan I am on rolling out today. We haven't, by the time people listen to this, that will have happened. Okay, yep. That's fair. Game, yeah, YouTube Shorts game, YouTube Shorts plan. Otani's going crazy, and a new sponsor, and some questions from the chat. So if you're in the chat and you ask questions, thank you very much. Chat, comment section, same shit. Welcome back. Hi, Maddie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I got in early today. Been building this YouTube short thing the whole morning. So it was nice. I didn't go get in early on Monday or Tuesday. I actually spent the morning with the kids and then took the train like a normal commuter.
Yeah.
And then today I was like, I got one day. I'm going to get in early.
Yeah, the YouTube shorts planning is kind of the big behind the scenes aspect of the show today. But I wanted to rip off a few.
Well, also, my sister had a baby.
That is right.
So I'm an uncle four times over.
For those curious, it's not Courtney.
That's how you say it. Not Courtney. Our other sister. Her first little girl. Now our family is three boys and three girls in that order. Yeah. Boy, 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 girl, girl, girl. And so that's going to be fun.
What was the name that Courtney was saying in the meeting?
I don't know if my sister wants me to say the name yet. So
right.
To everyone.
Right.
So I'm not going to say it. I'll tell you don't privately.
But yeah. I forget. I do want to know privately. Sure.
I'll type it on the thing.
Lovely.
I don't know how you spell it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Get that out of here. Back. All right. Before we dive into the real behind the scenes, I wanted to do a few things off the top, including reacting to your fantasy team, which you did not draft yesterday, but I linked Max's tweet who drafted on your behalf if you want to open that.
Does that, if I click this link, it'll show me my team?
Yes.
Okay, I want to do some questions first.
Okay.
How'd the production of the whole thing go?
In the most humble way, I was very proud of myself because
You did all the switching?
Yeah, BBD was like in there. So then I was doing...
And typing it out?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I couldn't make it because it was like after hours and I'm pretty committed to not missing family time, even more so than in the past. So there's going to be changes to my content schedule moving forward that I'm already like putting in place just to make sure with two kids now that it doesn't get away from us and Katie has help and all that. So, yeah, that's stuff that I would like to be at, but you know what? I'd actually rather be with the kids more. So
no, that's fair.
Being honest.
And
so Max drafted in my proxy. I did give him, he asked anyone I want. I said, I want this strategy. I don't know if he did it.
So before we even dive into it, also, shout out to Mike because he crushed all of the like setup, and there was two wireless mics, like handheld mics that we
Mike
had in.
Mike D,
yeah. There were two handheld like wireless mics, which I hadn't seen in that room before, and those worked so well. Yeah, it was good. Joe's got snaked so many times, so he had like a cue lined up, and there it makes a sound when somebody's taken out of your cue.
Oh, that's funny.
He was the only person that left his computer noise on, so anytime his cue got taken from, that's everybody
funny.
Knew.
That's really funny.
But yeah, if you click that link,
okay,
your team will be there.
I'm clicking the link. Max Manis drafted the squad for John Boy in our fantasy league. Okay, so we have Wilson Contreras at catching. Goldie at first, Nico Horner at second, Steer at third, Seager at short, I like that, Jordan, I like that, Schwarber, okay, we got some pop, Mullins, utility, I mean, we got some pop there,
page.
Strider, strikeouts, that's a huge one.
That's your first round pick, Spencer Strider.
Six pick overall?
Yes.
And I'm guessing strikeouts are a category?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty good rotation.
Yeah, your top five picks, Strider, Alvarez, Corey Seager, Framber.
Strider, Alvarez, Corey Seager, Framber. Okay.
And Schwarber.
Okay. Wow. Not sure about Miller. Still got a lot to I don't know if he's throwing another fastball, but he's a bench pitcher.
Yeah, that's a bench.
He got. Oh, I thought that was Ranger Suarez, but that's not Ranger Suarez. That's Robert Suarez. Good draft.
You're confident with this?
It's top heavy pitching. But like if Strider, Steele, Valdez are great, Bassett's going to get you wins. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would have to, you have to look at other teams, I guess.
I can show you some of the other teams if you want to do a deep dive. If not,
I'll go. And also the categories. I know it's points, but what are the offensive categories? Home runs?
It is.
Is just like hits one? Because I don't know how well we're doing there.
Shelfie.
Seager should be good there. And that's it. Goldie.
Update. It's a points league. It's not,
I know that,
categories.
But they're still into the points.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's run scored, total bases, RBIs, walks, strikeouts are negatives, hit by pitch, stolen base, ground into double play, negative.
Whoa. Ground into double play is negative?
And home runs are not. It's just total,
bases. So then the hits thing is fine. This is great.
Great.
I like it. He wasn't able to do my strategy with relief pitching. That's okay.
I will say you, Max, had the most even draft throughout the board. You never took the same position group back to back.
Good job.
Whereas, like, Joe's, four of his first five picks were infielders. It's not a bad thing, but.
Smart. Someone just tweeted at me, never listening to your YouTube again.
All right.
I don't know why.
The other thing that I wanted to go through was spring training, because you just got back from a weekend in Tampa.
Yes.
Brett asked.
Brett. Okay.
Brett Hafner. He said, what is your favorite part about going down to spring training?
The bus rides. No.
The bus rides.
That's like the joke about what do you miss most about playing baseball?
Right.
Camaraderie,
right.
Bus rides. Mm-hmm. I don't know a favorite part. It's all really cool. There's just like a lot of different elements of like meeting people that listen to the show is really cool. A lot of people said they listened to Morning, which was nice. Some people didn't listen to Morning, but they really liked the little behind the scenes snippets we put on socials. Man, we saw Bossy. I liked chatting with Bossy for a while. From Blitzball Battle 1 in Hudson Valley. He's awesome. And then, like, meeting people that listen to the show is really rewarding, really good, really draining. Like, the event was fun and good, but maybe the most draining event, like, we've ever had. I felt like I had, like, absolutely nothing left in me. Because it's, like, 4 hours straight of half hour of 45-second conversations. Mm-hmm. And then you turn around and do another one. It is very... I love meeting people because we don't go on stage or tour and see our audience ever. It's just people. We're just in a room. It's just the two of us. And then people will be like, listen, this is very nice. But yeah, that was usually you do like an hour meet and greet and then you like do trivia night or you sit and watch the game. This was 11:30 to 4 o'clock straight of meet and greet.
Right.
So like I couldn't function afterwards. Just like social battery, just because I'm not an extrovert at all. So I was draining. Really fun. And then the one thing I said, I told to the leaders meeting, I told to the group that I'll share here because it does make me like kind of proud of us or like what, or like kind of like a twinkle in my eye. When we walk through spring training, so we wanted this trip to be twofold. One, an event to meet our audience and have fun at a game. And two, to go get FaceTime with all the people behind the scenes at Yankee Stadium. We hadn't been there in 4 years because of COVID. Then like the strike and delayed start. And then Jake had a wedding. So we hadn't been around Yankee spring training in 4 years. And we had gone 3 years in a row before that to get like chummy with reporters and see some guys and talk and all that. So as we were walking around the facilities, like... The different types of people that stopped and said hi, like Carlos Rodon stopped us in the hallway. It was like, hey, I haven't met you guys. Like, how you doing? Like, and it genuinely asked about us, our background. That was cool. Cashman said hi. Booney stepped out and said hi to us. And then you had like other coaches, Matt Blake, Tanner Swanson said hi. Players, like we saw F. Ross and Wellesley, you know. But then also went up to the broadcast and like Susan Waldman gave me like a big hug and she was the best. And she was like, how come you never had me on? I'm like, I'm too scared to ask. Because she's always been my top guest, but like just chatting with her was cool. And then like all the guys on the beat are really nice. And I was telling the crew, I was like, I don't know how many other people walk around the facility and have touch points with all those different fractions. Front office, because like a couple analytics guys we know mm-hmm. said hi to us, coaches, players, broadcast, and like print journalism. And then like even like, you know, like the Yes crew that's like filming for them, we know them and say hi. So it was like, it was kind of cool. Maybe it's a lot, maybe it's not that unique, but in my mind, that's pretty cool that we can get like little conversations and relatability and chatting with like all those different departments. I think it's like something we should be proud of.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
No, that's awesome. And then we were talking in the leaders meeting of that kid that said no baggies is so funny.
Yeah. No baggies. Damn. No baggies. Ha Evil. That was nice though.
Yeah.
A lot of people asked for signatures and I feel like that was Carlos Rodon was signing along that fence and then he asked me to sign a ball. And I'm always weirded out already because I'm like, really? Okay. I try not to sign balls that they have player signatures on them.
Yeah.
Like, hey, do you have any players on here? But they'll be like, please. I'm like, what am I going to say? No. But then one of them, they were like, well, I got Hoke on here too. And I was like, all right, fucking Hoke's on there. I'll put my signature on there.
Yeah.
Not that you can read it.
That might be the saving grace. It's like, okay. Like, yeah. It doesn't, who cares?
Well, Jake does his signature, does a paw print, and I do my signature. And it's just my fucking legal signature.
Yeah.
Just Jimmy O'Brien in Scribble. Mm. So I like put like in small print John Boy underneath like the line at the end. Mm. So if they ever look back, they can try to figure it out.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And Jake draws a paw print.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
All right. Let's remind all the people that this entire thing is brought to you by Factor.
We should have brought Factor with us on the trip, although not to give another company some love during an ad read. So I'll pause it. There is a place.
Before the ad.
There is a place down there that we like very much enjoy going to because it's healthy and quick. And if you want healthy and quick, Factor is also healthy and quick and convenient and decision free. And they have a new discount code for you. Code. Nope. I think I read the wrong one. What an idiot. Strike that from the record. Bleep and blur the whole thing. FactorMeals.com/morejohnboy50. Use code morejohnboy50 to get 50% off. That's code morejohnboy50 at FactorMeals.com/morejohnboy50 to get 50% off. They have over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help your weekly meal planning even more delicious. And because I botched this read, I mentioned another company and gave out the wrong discount code, I need everyone to go punch in that code. Help us out.
Yeah.
Make sure Factor's not mad at me and leave a comment being like, hey, even though that was a 6 out of 10 and read, I'm still going to go check it out.
Yeah. Go leave that comment.
We'll send all those comments to Factor and be like, hey, Jimmy botched the read, but look.
Yeah. And get a smoothie. Cause those.
Oh, you like those?
Favorite. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's talk the Factor insight of the week. Very much so enjoyed this question.
Yes.
Mike asked, what does, quote, we are a reverse mullet on the office wall mean? It is visible in the latest GeoGuessr video when we did the send-off.
GeoGuessr, send-off, it's good stuff. Reverse mullet, I made this up a couple years ago when we were trying to bring out like who we are, what are our values as a company, who do you want to be? A mullet, as everyone knows, is business in the front, party in the back. We are the opposite. On the surface level, the people that enjoy our content, that just tune in, they will leave comments like, this is the best job in the world. I can't believe this is so easy. Wow, you get paid to watch baseball. It's a party in the front. But in the back, it's all business. Like, it is a grind. It is a revenue-based operation. We have 60 employees. I got to pay all their salaries. We got to make money. We got to help each other out, communicate. You have to put in the work on the back end, but the front end is all fun and a party and good times, because that is our, like, that's what we're trying to allow other people to partake in. So it's just a reminder that, you know, I think that when I originally, like, said this, I said we're a reverse mullet. It's a really hard thing to be. It's much easier to be just a regular mullet and go 9 to 5 and be, you know, working and then party on the weekend. We got to work a lot of weekends. Mm-hmm. It's very fun, the job, but it's still a job and a grind. And if you want to be successful, you have to remember that there's two parts here. So it's that sentiment.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good answer. We can dive into some more questions. So if you have anything that you want answered for next week, leave a comment now in addition to your factor comment that is asking a question for next week. Before we get to those questions, let's finish up with our true behind the scenes part of the show, talking YouTube Shorts incentive plan that is rolling out today.
Yes. I have a big meeting with the creative side of house today, and we're building an incentive program, or I build an incentive program, to try to attack YouTube Shorts better. So YouTube, it's like a conundrum. It's a catch 22 right now. The way to get new audience is via short form. The way to monetize is long form. It's hard to grow long form without a new audience. So does that make sense? So the warehouse is the perfect example. In 2023, the warehouse YouTube Shorts took off. They went insane. What that led to was 200,000 subscribers. Like, you know, one short got us 50,000 subscribers. Those subscribers lead to more consistent viewers of the long form content, of the full games. We saw a direct relation of that. And, you know, the algorithm that YouTube uses, they get you new audience via shorts. That's how you go. That's the bait that they put in the water. And you reel them in, and hopefully, you know, they stick around and you eat the fish. More consistent viewers equals more revenue. And then more revenue, as I kind of said earlier, that's the company. We have to make revenue to operate, gets more opportunities. So for Warehouse, in 2023, we went crazy on YouTube Shorts. They got us more subscribers. That bumped our average view for all of our long form videos. And with that, we were able to sell the channel as a whole, basically, for the whole year and not have to parcel it out. And once we have the comfort of brands investing in the channel as a whole, because the subscribers are there and the views as short and long are there, we have more opportunities. We can do more. It's just easier to know, like, we're allowed to do this. So we need to prioritize original content that's short form. This has been a tough thing for us to do because it's not where, like, the real revenue comes from. Like, we can't sell it. Our sales team can't sell it. And the CPM that you're going to get on the short form is not good. But in my opinion, and based on, you know, past experiences, it does help you build the long form viewer. So we're really bad at YouTube short form on a lot of our channels. We're really good at short form for Twitter. Instagram's going absolutely nuts right now. Like, our main channel, Instagram, is going crazy right now. So we're really good there. So we're clipping these clips up and sending them out on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter. And TikTok has been pretty good at times. It's a little harder. Instagram's, like, right now hot. But we need to crack YouTube Shorts. Like, in all honesty, some of the stuff going out there is just, like, not worth the time to upload it because it's, you know, this is made for Twitter and we're just shoehorning it on to you. So I've been diving into the back end, trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work. I've had some success on the main channel and, like, with the breakdowns I've been doing recently, but I want it to be a full company team effort to learn and throw a ton of shit at the wall and see what sticks and get the creative from all of our people to do their own ideas and then see what sticks. And then, like, be talking to each other. Hey, this worked. Hey, this didn't work. Hey, I want to try a video like that. I want to try that. I got this idea. So we're creating a plan where, you know, you'll get There's tiers of like, you get like, you know, 100% of the AdSense if you, the first time you hit this tier, and then you get, it's layered, then you get 50% after that, all the way up. And then we're going to, early on, we're going to assign, like you make one short a week or two shorts a week, whatever it is, for this channel, and really like point them in a direction. And then hopefully I'm hoping some people just run with it. Like, I think there's an opportunity here for some of our, social team editors, creators. That's the three fractions that make up the creative side of the house, to like crack the code and just be pocketing a couple, you know, $100 a week and like incentive bonus because they figured out how to get 400,000 views on YouTube every time they upload one. Which, if you look around, there are channels that do that like easily. Mm-hmm. They just have figured out a code and cracked the code and like done it. So that's the plan. And then the other plan is I want to like unify the whole company a little more and not be aiming at 100 targets. You watch Masters of the Air?
No.
Well, the Germans, when they were flying their fighter jets, they would all aim at the same American plane. And this is a horrible example because it's Americans dying. But if they were all to be like, hit whoever you want, they'd be less successful.
Right.
When you have everyone aiming at the same target and you get it and then you all celebrate and you're like, all right, let's get the next one. That's how I want to attack this. So I'm opening it up, the incentive plan, to like to three channels at first. Mm-hmm. And we have subscriber goals. So once we all attack it, I also think channels have their own little code that to crack. So if all 15 to 20 of us are like putting our heads on Talking Yanks, like we need to get Talking Yanks to 100,000 subscribers. It's crazy. It's not there. It doesn't match the views. It's making it harder to sell when it's a very successful podcast and show, but we just don't have the subscribers. We don't do short form and non-Yankee fans don't subscribe. That's my two reasons. So to have 20 people attacking that with ideas and concepts and seeing, hey, I think this will work or that will work. Then at the end, we get to our goal. I think it'll be easier to, okay, let's leave this in like three people's hands to continue the shorts. It's easier now. We've figured out what works on this channel and then send the wave of people. Okay, now let's go attack JM Entertainment. Let's figure out what works here and get everyone's brain, you know, just part-time because they still have regular jobs, like working and attacking it. And then we clear that target and then we move on. And hopefully it's like a wave of learning and everyone working as a team together while getting individually like bonus money.
For sure.
That's the plan. We'll see if people buy in or not. But we've been saying we need shorts. We need shorts for a while with no formal like.
Yeah.
And this, so this is the first time I'm like, all right, we really got to do this.
Yep. I think one thing that could really help is if we, and you've said this in the past, of like that first 5 seconds is uber important to the success of the short because people will just scroll away so fast if they have no interest in it.
Yeah.
I think, and this is just the most recent example, like when we're going around the office asking somebody a question, I think that that person that's hosting it should, the start of their short is answering the question within the first second. So Jolly did like, what's the biggest rivalry in baseball for this upcoming season? I think rather than saying, I'm going to go around the office and ask people.
Or that text needs to be on the screen right away.
And I think it was, but I'm saying, let's just get to the point. And then what I like in YouTube shorts is then at the end, Jolly finishes his sentence and then it loops.
So, yeah. Well, I agree. You don't need any intro. You shouldn't have any intro.
No intro.
The intro is the title. They see the words on the screen. What's the biggest rivalry in sports? And then the first word spoken would be like Red Sox Yankees.
Yeah.
And then you can like the middle people can have a little more thought or stuff. And then you have to a quick hitter at the end. Ryan, who came on to do mine and Jake's socials, I've been like, he's like repurposing some old breakdowns and stuff. And I'm like, hey, like these are kind of like, remember like 2 years ago, this breakdown happened. So we don't need to tell the whole story. So just, you know, Adrian Hauser puking, the first 5 seconds should be me should be the, like, you should swipe up and then the video starts. Oh my God, looks like he's going to pee. And then that's it.
Yep.
Don't need the, like, Adrian Hauser on the bump for the Brewers. It's a 2-0 game at all. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's pretty key. I mean, if just pick your hand up and mimic how you swipe through YouTube Shorts and the rhythm at which your thumb goes, that's how much time you give a video before you know if you want to watch it or not. It's like 2 seconds. It's crazy. So your first 2 seconds have to either be like very visually, whoa, what? Or the words are on the screen, like top five water bottles.
And you're answering.
And because then they know.
Yeah.
Like their hook's already there. That's at least theory. Theory one, I can't wait till we have like 20 brains all trying to think this way. Mm-hmm. So I bought a bunch of games and a bunch of stuff for people to do. And then, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody said Yankees Red Sox is the biggest rivalry of the year.
Pakistan, India.
Yep.
That's what I would have said.
Some people said some funny answers. Okay. Yeah. Jack Doyle said the White Sox in rain, I think. There were a few other funny ones. Dalton said the Dodgers in the postseason. Now I forget the rest.
Wow, Dalt.
It was a very good short. I think that if we like...
And the other thing is
put
like...
Put it in a different format.
The social team has been asking for original content to post on Instagram, TikTok. So just because we're trying to crack the short, the YouTube short code, there's added benefits here of like, well, yeah, our John Boy Media Instagrams and TikToks are also now going to be flooded with content as we try to like do this.
Yeah.
And spreading it out across everyone, it's no one's burden. That's the other piece slide I have to put in the presentation today. Is like, these should not take long.
Like, 15 minutes.
Like, the edits should be as basic as you can. Besides having to put, like, words on the screen, that's the most you should have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, just... and you should just... Besides those, like, back-and-forth guessing ones that we did in spring training, otherwise you can do it all on your phone. You can even do that on your phone if you have two of those stands and just put it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No keyframes. Say that.
Is this a new one?
I don't know.
It is.
You would know better.
This is a new one. This isn't mine.
Okay.
Mine was more simple. So, yeah, I mean, you can get the audio and then just put two phones and just like even like just selfie, like two phones here and there. It would be simpler to record it.
Yep.
So that's what we're laying out today. Hopefully the response is okay.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. I think that if we don't answer what you had alluded to earlier, that's going to be the only question that gets asked. You said that you plan on your content schedule is already changing a little bit.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Can you just fill people in with what that means?
Yeah. I don't know what it means yet. To be honest, like once the season starts, we'll know more. I know that I made a list of priorities and I'm planning my week around that. So certain stuff gets harder to record. But the number one priority is that every day that I'm in town, like not on a road trip or a crazy warehouse shoot, like normal weekday, I do dinner and bedtime at home with the kids or morning through nap time and give Katie that half day to go do whatever she wants, sleep, get her nails done, shop, go outside, whatever, you know. So then that was priority one. Priority two is talking Yanks because that's a two-man show, just me and Jake. And I wanted to be in studio more on weekdays for like the weekday record. I'll be at home on Sundays. But so like say it's the midweek series recap is on a Wednesday, which all April's on a Wednesday. So I'm going to be in office late past dinner because we have to record after the game. So usually I get home at like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Then Claire's already asleep. Dinner's already done. And, that means that Wednesday I'm going to do home until 12:30 nap time at home and then come to the office and do stuff and do talking Yanks. at the office. But our schedule is so jam-packed that me staying home on a Wednesday from and not getting into the office until 1:30 or 2, and then the Yankees game's on at 1, so we're watching it, that's 3 or 4 shows I'll have to miss. Or we have to rearrange. Right now, Wednesdays are morning, talking baseball, and then watching Guts. So that's those three things. Now we have to push to Thursday if everyone else can, or I'm just not on it, or we re-change it. But I have to make family more priority this year than last year. So, yeah, my content calendar has to get lighter in a way. And then also we have like some really big opportunities that will that are being presented to us this off this win this season that will take me away from like the day shows, but they're big opportunities that we're not going to be able to say no to. So just trying to figure out where to find time and to make sure that Katie's not, you know, doing all shifts of the day alone any day, really. So I don't know really where it stands. I know that April sucks because it's all Wednesdays, so it's tough for those other shows. Like, I might not be on Talking Baseball a lot in April at all. And that's a show that's lower on the list of priority because it's a huge time commitment, and there's three people, so, like, Jake and Trev have it. They can do it. Whereas, like, Weekly Dumb, I can't miss. Talking Yanks, I can't really miss.
Yep.
So, that's the plan.
Makes sense. Let's jump into the questions of the week. There's 6 of them, and the question segment is brought to you by Under 5'10".
Oh, you're under 5'10"?
Yep.
Yep, so am I. Under 5'10 makes clothes that fit you. Like, we did a video walking around in them the other day, and I was like, oh, wow, bizarre. These fit me. A lot of times I have to get my pants tailored, or I just, like, fold them, and that looks stupid. But also, like, the inseam is like, oh, this fits. I don't have a saggy bottom. The Saggy Bottom Boys. What movie? Is that their name?
I don't know.
Soggy Bottom? Soggy Bottom, not saggy. Okay.
What is it? What movie?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, brother, Where Art Thou?
You don't know that one?
No.
No. Oh. Very popular movie.
I'm only familiar with the Sticky Bandits.
Some of the newest items from Under 5'10 include super soft joggers, ultra stretchy casual pants, and long sleeve t-shirts. A little behind the scenes, the gray baseball pants we wear in the warehouse are just Under 5'10 joggers.
Yeah.
And even the taller dudes like them because they just go high socks, but they fit nice. So you can try all of this out by using code OPENINGDAY at under510.com/johnboy. If you're not under 5'10", you know someone that is. So spread the good word. Say, pass them a little card that says you're shorter than me. Here you go. Under510.com/johnboy. Use code OPENINGDAY to get $10 off your order. Your order.
Any order.
Yeah, any order. Yeah. Any order. All right, questions.
And get free shipping on orders over $150 and free returns.
Nice.
Heck yeah. All right, questions. I guess it's because you reacted to the Rourke homer, but there was a number of warehouse-related questions. Also, BB4 ended within the past week, so that could be that. But warehouse rule changes. Some people were giving up some ideas, and I think that this is quick. Just hit on your instant thoughts, and we can move on. But Tommy asked, should the ledge of the wall be not in play because it seems that catch is just way too easy? They're talking about the gray wall when it, like, bounces off the actual wall down onto that ledge, and then it just is sitting there.
No. It's warehouse. It's warehouse ball. Sometimes people want to make, like, that's not baseball. It's like, yeah. Like, Drew getting so upset there is awesome. That's exactly what the whole dynamic is. Guys playing a game that shouldn't be taken seriously, taking it very seriously. Like, that's a brutal bad break because we're playing fucking pinball version of baseball. But there's real feelings on the line. Like, if the Devastator rule wasn't there, would have had a nice a nice winning double versus Trev in the BB1 championship. Instead, we got an awesome reaction. So, no, like, that is what we're going for. Someone said put a little ramp thing there, so at least the ball takes a weird carom. I'm not against that idea, like putting obstacles so it more is like Plinko, like will it or won't it? I'm not against that at all. Like putting, you know how they like put all those like things so skateboarders can't like grind on benches? Mm-hmm. Like if we just had little like nooks and crannies so the bounces were a little odder.
Sure.
Not against that because that's more going into warehouse and not going into like make it normal.
Yeah. So shout out to, I might be biased for that idea. The next warehouse rule suggestion, Fade NXC said, week two of presenting a double play idea for Blitzball Battle. This is, if you field it and throw a strike, that's a double play.
Offense needs help.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, we got ice. No team like hit this tournament. So I don't think we're in need of that.
And then,
I've answered this a ton, so I just feel like I'm repeating myself, but I know people aren't hearing or seeing me answer it everywhere. We've tried the double play rule before. When you get an easy one, it is so boring. Like if I get a ground ball, like I got two ground balls back to me in against the Woogas in that game. They had runners on base, and I just throw it at the strike zone from the pitcher's mound again, and now the inning's over. You would think there's drama. There's drama if it's a crazy play. But, like, that's not entertaining. We practiced that, and we're like, this stinks. I didn't do anything special. So, and also, yeah, we don't really need help with the batter, making it harder to score runs.
I agree. I think that more offense needs help than the opposite. And then The last suggestion comes from PTDW. I think the key to solving the problem of too many walks from the secondary pitchers is to incentivize the offense to be aggressive. One way to do this would be to have a rule that if a pitcher gets three cumulative strikes looking across any at-bats, they no longer have to pitch that game. It would force hitters to be aggressive in all counts.
I kind of like that. It's really confusing and hard to keep track of.
That was my thought.
But yeah, if Joe's throws two looking strikes,
you have to swing.
You would have to swing, which would result in a ball in play
or a better count.
I might even do back to back though.
Two.
It would be a rule for your secondary pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I'll ask all the guys. I like having an out because I don't want to do just one pitcher. But so we made the ground ball rule, like if you make this play,
right,
you can get out. But it would be cool to be like, if at any point the second pitcher just throws back-to-back strikes.
Looking.
He's done. Because that would make all of like Joe's, Dalt, me at times, Marshall, but he was brand new. Just like if there's no one on base and the worst you're going to give up a solo home run, you'd just be like lobbing
strikes.
And actually that's a better strategy because then you can get into ground ball outs or like ceiling outs. All right. That's like, you know, this is why I have a love hate relationship with all, like how many people present new rules because we do put a ton of effort into testing rules and like workshopping them and thinking about them all the time. But 1 out of 10 times someone comments that it's something that I'm like, whoa, shit. Okay. Yeah. Maybe not 1 out of 10. I should give him more credit than that.
We kind of hit at a 50% clip in our combo here.
It's not bad. But the problem is like sometimes it's rules that we've workshopped and tested over and over and over again. And then they just come into it complaining like I made it up on the fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably the only thing I'm sensitive about. Like truly, like I know that I'm being overtly sensitive, but how much that narrative goes that I make everything up pisses me off so much.
All of those rules are tested and known going in. Regular listener C-Mel, shout out to them. They just asked if there's any update on future fan attended events for the warehouse in 2024.
It's very interesting because at the top of the show, I talked about how draining meet and greets are, and the days, the shoot days in the warehouse are already very draining. And if we combined it to like, had like, you know, fans come in and then felt like we had to give them, naturally, we're going to feel like we have to give you the, like that energy, meet and greet, talk, chat and all that. But like, it's very draining. On the other hand, the warehouse is a shitty kind of like dump of a place, and they're 10-day shoots where everyone's working. So you would be kind of in the way of people working. So that's the downside why we don't do it.
I think we're even talking more so like Blitzball Blitz type events.
Well, they said in the warehouse.
I added that. They said any update on future fan attended events.
We might be doing one, but I haven't heard about that. It wouldn't be filmed anywhere. It would just live and die in the warehouse and be like more for the crowd. Well, I wanted to get at like Blitzball Battle 5 is filming in the week and Blitzball Battle 4 filmed during the week. And you could tell we had not a lot of people there.
Yeah.
So I already wrote in the Slack an idea that we actually take our bleachers and tape seats. So we know how many people can fit and then assign seats. So we can actually have people like actually make it look more crowded if it's not. And then know like, hey, we have 10 empty seats. And then we could reach out to like local people that are local and fans of the warehouse to come fill it. But yeah, so like if we have to do, like you'd have to take the weekday off to come because we're filming during the week. So I don't know if that's what you want to do. And it's a whole day. You know what I mean? Like you're stuck and you got to cheer. You got to be loud. So there's a lot of elements like we're like, are people going to want to do this? I know people will say they want to do it, but like, will you really be able to and want to? But we need more people in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like Blitzball Battle 3 had a ton of people. You could tell. Championship game for Blitzball 3 was like fucking electric.
Oh, yeah. Don't have to tell me twice.
Yeah.
Let me know about number 3. I'm going to read out number 5 in the meantime. Boombayada asked, Jimmy, more music question. I know you know about Nebraska, but have you ever given Red-Headed Stranger by Willie Nelson a proper listen? It's stark and dark and sparse and has amazing words. It's the Nashville, Nebraska, in my humble opinion.
I have not. I will. I've never heard of that. I know I haven't done like Willie Nelson's like deep dive into his songs at all, really. So I appreciate it. I'll go check it out.
And then the second half of that question is, do you pay attention to who produces and records things, or are you fully about the players?
Oh, I only know like some producers, but I only know about them like when I see their name. Like I couldn't rattle them off right now. There's the guy that went around. I usually don't like when an album comes out produced by a big producer. Like, who's the dude with the big white beard that did Beastie Boys? And he's huge in the music. Music producer, beard, Beastie Boys, Rick Rubin. I didn't even need it. I got it before. He did an Avett Brothers album. It's easily their worst album. It's just way overproduced. They talked about their production strategy, and it was like they did demos, then they did this version, then they did that version. It's like, dude, just release the demos like usual. Like, just do that. It's good. So there's another producer that does a lot of Southern music, and I know that he did a Childers album, and it was the same thing. It was like overproduced. So a lot of times when they get into the big producer's hands, I'm just like, eh.
Right.
I don't like it. I like very simple tracks, like Nebraska, and that's what I was talking about. Who's the producer I'm talking about? He's very big. Is it Country Squire? Is that? But like Jason Isbell, I like him, and he'll produce some other artists. That'll make me check it out. Phoebe Bridgers produced Christian Lee Hudson's album. I really like that. Oh, no, Sergil Simpson did Country Squire. I like that. So I like when artists produce a little bit.
DJ Khaled?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you like what any of his actual songs are that he's produced or anything.
All right. Well, in the music vein, sorry, Landon, we've missed your goof and gaff for 2 weeks, I think. So this is jumping back a bit, but Landon, Scoof, and Gaff, if you could be extremely good at one musical instrument, what would it be and why?
Guitar.
Why?
Because not many people dislike the guitar. Campfire, play it around.
You're talking acoustic?
Yeah.
Your sister is adamantly against acoustic guitars.
No, she's against all guitars. She doesn't like music with guitars. She just doesn't like music. Because all music kind of has guitars, you know? Kind of one sure. of those things.
Mine's the timpani.
Harmonica, that would be kind of cool.
Timpani is logistically unfeasible, but that's what I used to play in band, so I like that the most.
David Cobb is the guy that did a lot of Isbell stuff. I feel like he's done other ones.
Okay.
Actually, I might like when he does albums. I don't know. Yeah, he's done a ton of artists. I think I might like Cobb.
Okay. Me too.
All right.
Friend of the program, Brian Feingold, asked our final question here, warehouse related. When do you guys put up the banners for the warehouse champions? You can't put them up immediately since you record other content. No. Will the banner reveal be a part of the first pregame show of the following tourney? Question mark.
Yeah. All right. So we recorded Blitzball Battle for November.
Yep.
We didn't hang the banner for the championship team right away because we recorded Captain's League Ball and Play, which came out beforehand. And then we recorded Captain's League Slap Ball, which comes out afterwards, but we film shit, sport, like just like film around. Mm-hmm. There's a chance someone spoils it. Usually we won't hang it until the winner is public. I did it differently this year, and Sam was like, are you sure? And I was like, I think so, yeah. Because now that the whole thing is one warehouse cup, mm-hmm. McFlurry Power won, spoiler, Blitzball Battle 4, the next warehouse event, Ball and Play, we filmed that. I was like, we need the banner to be up because it's a storyline. We're like, we'll film the banner. Yep. And Rose is like, look at that. They're chasing another one. So we did hang it because it needed to be part of that show. We just then told everyone, hey, like, this is really no spoilers right now.
Yeah. It goes up like 2 weeks before we film the next big Warehouse Cup tournament.
Yeah, and we got to put all the other banners up soon.
Yep.
Because I feel bad they're not up, but they're going to hang, but not in that area. That would always be the most recent four. But, like, you win a banner, it should be up. So yep. I'm starting to feel, we own our own lift right now. I'm starting to feel bad how many times, like, Trev's come and not seen his banners.
Sure.
It's a confidence boost.
Yeah. We Got Ice made two videos that went out with the McFlurry banner up, and Jack just keyframed it very close to where the banner starts, and they were never in the shot.
Birch Smith used his upward mobility clause to opt out with the Rays and is joining the Marlins on a major league contract. Wow. Birch Smith update.
Okay.
Damn. Well,
that might be the app.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. See you later. Subscribe.